those of you that don't know who Titus Rayner is, he's all the way from Prince Edward Island, Canada. And if you want to know where that is, look it up in Google Maps. Basically, if you fly all the way up over New York and Boston and Maine and you keep on going, eventually you'll come to Prince Edward Island. That's how far away it is. And so our brother Titus is going to share how he came to know the Lord Jesus. You might wonder what relationships he has with CVOD, as you maybe heard. I think the term was used, he hit the lottery, he hit the jackpot. So he is now officially engaged as of last week to Tori Schlabach. And so we congratulate them on that. So Titus, come on ahead and share your testimony.
Good afternoon, everybody. I was asked about a month ago or 3 weeks ago to share my testimony, share how the Lord saved my soul. And if someone here is not saved and they don't know what that is to be rescued. To be rescued not from drowning or from a fire, but it's to be rescued from hell and from a pointless life, from a life of guilt, a life of sin, and to enter into eternal life, a life with an amazing relationship with the one who created you. And hopefully the Lord will just help me to be clear and not be too nervous, and maybe I'll just say a quick prayer that he will help me. Our Father, thank you for this opportunity to share the gospel and to share it with others, and just please help me with nervousness, help me to be clear, and just that if someone's not saved, that they would accept Christ this afternoon. Pray that in your precious and your holy name. Amen. So, it's a joy to know Christ. I was talking to Stephen yesterday, and I was telling him about where I was reading, and I was reading in Psalm. And Psalm 66, and he pointed out that I could use Psalm 66 and verse 16. It says, "Come and hear, all you that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul." So, I grew up hearing the gospel, hearing how I could be saved, how I could come to know Christ as my Savior. I wasn't saved. I was not really that troubled. I was saved when I was six, by the way. So I was always interested. I was always asking questions. I was pretty interested in it, but I did realize that I was separated from God. I knew that the more I sinned, the more it was reassurance that me and God don't mix. There's nothing I can give to God that would make me right before him. I was six, so there's not like huge sins that I committed. I didn't murder anyone, but anytime I would want something that wasn't mine, if my friend had a toy, and I was like, I want that toy, and I thought about stealing it, that was a sin. That could put me in hell. That's how serious it is. Exodus 20 talks about all those laws, and it doesn't take much. You have to be absolutely perfect to enter into heaven by works. And as you guys can figure out, no one can. No one can enter into heaven by their own righteousness. Romans 3 and 23 says that all have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. That's the bad news, but it's also good news because it does point us towards Christ. I could read a little bit further there. It says, "Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did that through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins." That's what I'm hoping to tell you guys about. So God, seeing that we were guilty before him, we would not be able to see him, like we would not be able to make it into heaven. We were going to be punished forever. Eternal suffering, that's what hell is. It's torture, really. God, seeing that, he's seen that we were eternally damned, and he had compassion on us. He loved us. There's no reason, really, why he would see people who spit on his face, who nailed him to a cross, nailed his son to a cross, who is God in human form, sent his son into the world. We nailed him to the cross. We spit on his face, whipped his back. We did all these things. And he still wanted to have a relationship with us. He still wanted to save us. He did not want us to go to hell. He did not want us to go through what Jesus Christ went through for us. 2 Peter 3. Revelation. 2 Peter 3. Verse number 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." Some men would say he's slack, but he is patient or long-suffering. He is patient to us. He's not willing that anyone should perish. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. It's not his will. We can turn against his will and do whatever we want. We have choices. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and all should be in heaven and meet him. So we have a choice. Everyone has a choice to either turn our own way, like to go our own way, to not accept Christ as our Savior. But we also have a choice to accept the Son. A common verse is John 3, verse 36. It says, "He that believes on the Son," anyone who believes on the Son, "has eternal life. And he that doesn't believe on the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." In John 3 and 16, I'm sure everyone knows that verse. It says, "God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. He sent his only Son that whoever will believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." So God's perfect offspring, he sent into the world, and he lived, I think it was 33 years on this earth, and he was tempted. God, in human form, he was tempted by the devil, and he did not sin. He was absolutely perfect, without sin. And then about 33 years into his life, he went to the cross, and he sacrificed himself for us. He gave up his life so that we could believe in him and have everlasting life. I'm sure a lot of you know, most of you would know, Isaiah 53. This is 700 years or so before Jesus Christ was born. It says, Isaiah 53, verse 5 says, "He was wounded for our transgressions." Another translation says, "He was pierced for our rebellion. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could have peace, we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed and we could be cleansed from our sins." All of us, like sheep, we've gone astray. We've turned away from him. We've done what we think is right. We have left his path to just do what we want to do. But still, when we sinned before God, God still laid on the Lord Jesus Christ the sins, or the iniquities, the sins of us all. That is a prophecy that was spoken 700 years before it happened, which is pretty powerful. Romans 5 is a good passage too. Romans 5, verses 6 says, "When we were yet without strength, in due time, in the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. The ungodly is me. It is every single person in this room. He died for us. Romans 5 and 8 says, God showed his great love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We have made right in his sight. We are forgiven. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. I was 6 when I realized this. I knew I was guilty. I'd stolen some stuff. One time I was at the dollar store. I was going through with my mom, and I walked off. Mom was still looking at some stuff, and I snuck off. I grabbed a little chocolate egg. I snuck behind a bunch of shelves, and I ate it. And I was guilty for probably a week. I knew I was a sinner. But when I was 6, I trusted Christ as my Savior, and I knew that he didn't just die for the world, but he died for me. He forgave that. It seems like a little sin, but it doesn't take a big sin. He died for me, and I accepted Christ as my Savior. Just like you're sitting on that pew right now, you just rely on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he can take care of your soul. Don't rely on yourself. If you confess your sin to him, trust that what he did is good enough for you, you will be saved, and that is a promise. And you'll have a beautiful relationship with the one who died for you. I'll go to John 10 and 27. That is proof that once you are saved, you can never lose that. I know when I was in high school and I was in junior high, I was not living for Christ. I was saved. I was going to heaven, but I was not living for Christ. I was trying to please my friends at school, trying to be cool. But I was really just, I was unhappy. I felt just, well, awkward, and just like, I lacked all purpose. Like, there was no meaning in my life because I was not doing what God intended me to do. I was not being a witness for Christ. I was not living the way a Christian should live. It even came to a point where I doubted my salvation, and I was like I can't be saved. Like I'm too bad. Like, surely you can lose it. But then you go to John 10, verse 27. This kind of annihilates that argument. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. No one can be removed from that. It's once you have eternal life, it says, my Father, which gave them to me, is greater. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. That's words directly from the Lord Jesus. I felt really convicted reading that, and I started to have a desire within me to serve my Savior and to just live for Christ, because it gives you true joy and peace and purpose in your life. It is amazing. It's an amazing thing. And so we were on a vacation in Gatlinburg a little over a year ago, and we were enjoying our time there, and we didn't know if we were going to stay in Gatlinburg. We were originally planning on going to Nashville and enjoying some time there, going to the Gospel Chapel, as we've been to many times, or maybe 3 times before that. But we were thinking about going to Nashville, and then we almost decided not to. But my dad decided, you know, Someone who was with us has never been to Nashville, and he wanted them to see it, so we decided to go to Nashville. I think the Lord kind of moved that together, or made that all come together for his glory, because when I was at Gospel Chapel, Doug Lindley came up to me, and a lot of you probably know him. He mentioned to me the Tanzania trip, the missions trip, going over there in February of 25. He asked me if I would like to go, and I was like, that'd be cool, but I was like, I don't think you'd really want me to go, whatever. So I said I'd think about it, I'd pray about it. I didn't, I forgot about it, but Doug texted me, or he messaged maybe my mom in October and asked if I had came to a conclusion, if I was going to go. And I had not even thought about it, but I told mom, I was like, you know, I'm not financially really in the right place. I don't think I am going to go. And she kept trying to convince me. And then my boss, he was like, you know, like you should go on that. You should go on that trip. Like, it'd be really good for you. It would change your life, is what he said. And he was a missionary in South Africa for a while, so he just knew how amazing just experiencing that type of a life is. And he said that would change your perspective completely on life. And so he said, "Yeah, take as much time off as you want. Take a bunch of time off and just do it. It would be good for you." And Mom mentioned that she could start a fundraiser, and those usually do pretty well. So she started it, and within like I think it was a month, boom, money was right there. So that was the Lord just kind of leading me in that direction, and it was just amazing. I felt like the Lord was starting to use me, and it was an incredible feeling. So we went on the trip in February. I felt like my relationship with the Lord just was growing and growing. It was amazing for me, truly. I was reading my Bible more. I was praying more. I was just, my mind was in a way better place. I was struggling with sin less. It was an amazing thing. And I just was wanting to have that guidance in my life. I wanted to have the one who created me, who knows what's best for me, to guide me. So I was just praying a lot that he would show me, that he would just lead me in my life. And on that trip, as you guys already know, I met Victoria Schlaubach, my beautiful fiance, and he's just been guiding us in so much in our lives, and it's just been amazing to really just want to serve him in our relationship and to just do what's right. It's not been easy, and we've had struggles, but it is amazing to serve the Lord and to just want. I heard someone say when I was in Tanzania, Justin Wallace, maybe Kevin, you probably know. He said, he spoke on how we need to align ourselves with the will of God. And that's what I've just really been trying to do. I've been trying to say, okay, Titus, your mind is not good. God's mind is perfect. He knows exactly what's right for you. And I hope anyone here, whether you're not saved, I hope you would trust Christ as your Savior. I hope anyone who is saved, but they're maybe not as close to Christ as you'd like to be, or as you should be, I encourage you to, because it will change your life. It will give you true joy. You won't be happy all the time, but you will be just content knowing that you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has so much in store for every single person here. And I hope you guys can all experience that. And yeah. Almost dropped my phone again.
Close in prayer. Our loving Father, we thank you today for testimony and song. We thank you for the truths that these songs have conveyed to our souls. We also thank you, Father, for the testimony to the saving and keeping power of the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he is still a savior of sinners like us. And we thank you for Titus, and we pray for him. We pray for Victoria. We ask for your blessing upon them, the guidance that they desire, that you would unfold those things to them in accordance with your will, as we've been reminded, being aligned with your will. And what we desire for them, we desire for all of us. Father, that those that are saved, that our lives would, we want them to be aligned with your will. For any, Father, who don't have the assurance of salvation, don't have that moment when they trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior and Lord, we pray for such today that they may be touched by the testimony, convicted by the word of God as to their need of salvation, to their need of forgiveness. Pray that you will do a great work, and may this meeting be for the glory of God. We pray for Dean, for his wife Melissa, for their daughter Adele, Titus's sister. As they land in a few minutes, we ask for your hedge of protection, and we look forward to a time of sweet fellowship with them. Amazing to think that we're found in the family of God with one glorious common denominator, even our Lord Jesus. Bless, Father, we ask, in his worthy name, amen.